I'm Lawrence. It's my show. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Ray Diaz. This hour is being brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, online at CarX.com. Ray, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show,
we get into the Bulls with Tony Gill. What's going on, Tony Gill?
Look, man, the bass drop is what comes naturally for you to do, man. Like, there's no specific way to do the bass drop. You just feel the bass drop and then do what feels natural. You know what I'm saying?
It's my interpretation of the bass drop.
Exactly.
That's what it
exactly.
is. I like to either step on it or be delayed or slightly ahead. Tony, I have always been like this in my radio life. I color outside of the line. You can't predict what's going to come out of my mouth, Tony.
Yeah. How dare those texters combat you on your interpretation of the bass drop?
Exactly. Exactly. I even think Lawrence Holmes would appreciate it, because Lawrence Holmes doesn't want me to come on here and just copy him and do his thing, or else or else that would be highly unoriginal, and he'd probably be pissed that I was copying. Nobody wants to be copied, right?
Yeah, facts, man. Yeah, leave Mark Grody alone. Let him do his thing.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome to the party, pal. Ray, bass drop. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Megan Montemurro of the Tribune will join us to talk about the Cubs at 1. But next up, how are the White Sox constructed? And should White Sox fans be concerned about that? Chris Ronji joins me to discuss next here on The Score.
Yo, Holmes!
Lawrence Holmes.
Holmes runs it really well.
Noon to 2.
Holmes doing what Holmes does.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yo, Holmes!
And 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
Bouncer Alberto, right center field. And that's going to be grabbed by Vaughn. A great diving catch by the White Sox right fielder. He took a double away from Hanser Alberto.
Limping a little bit. He paid the price.
The White Sox tweeted this out. By the way, that highlight was courtesy of Spectrum. Andrew Vaughn has been diagnosed with a hip pointer injury, bruised pelvis on the right side. He will progress as his symptoms resolve and is preliminarily projected to return to game action in the next 1 to 2 weeks. The White Sox obviously are a team that is going to contend for a World Series. When I look at where they're at in their horizon, and you look at them making the move to bring in Tony La Russa, which you're not thinking is a long-term move. He's getting close to Connie Mack's age when Connie Mack hung it up. But you're thinking, man, we got this team right now, and we just need to push through. It makes you wonder why they didn't really push through as far as free agency went this year for 4 distinct positions of need for them. I wanted to talk about the White Sox, so who better than the guy who hosted White Sox pre- and post-game for forever? Our friend Chris Ronji joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Ranger.
Hello, Lawrence. What's up, buddy?
I wanted to talk White Sox with you, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. If we could take a break from the Chris Rock, Will Smith discourse.
I mean, if you want to talk about that, we can.
I mean, what the hell?
There's a lot to unpack there.
I mean,
a ton.
Yeah, so and we don't have to totally get down the road
come
of this.
Come on, I'm not afraid. Let's go.
As soon as that happened, I'm like, all right, that's a hair joke. And there has to be something, like she's sick or something's going on with her, because he reacted in such a weird violent way that I didn't expect. Well, I guess nobody expected. And so then I used the Google Lawrence, and it turns out she has the alopecia, which I know is very difficult, especially if you're a woman, because you're not used to losing all of your hair. In fact, I have a good friend who has been going through that for, I mean, probably 10, 12 years, and wears a wig all the time because, you know, she's lost all of her hair. And I know it's devastating for people. So, I don't know. It seemed like such an overreaction, and I don't think it's excusable on Will Smith's part, but that was not something I thought I'd ever see.
Yes, and we have to get it out of the way. Hitting people is wrong. Like, just so that we're clear, and I know that
unless
now,
they're trying to kill you,
unless you are trying to defend yourself,
right?
Comma, but the issue is that this is something that's happened between Rock and Will and Jada before. I assume that Rock and Will were friends because at one point he played Will's girlfriend on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, Chris is like, I assume that you're probably not going to cross-dress unless it's for one of your friends. Will and Jada have been through a lot, some of it own goal stuff that they've done. But Will especially has been, and you might not have seen this, Ranger, because, you know, I mean, as much as we love you, you're not really on Black Twitter. But
I dip my toe in the water, I think.
Yeah, we like you, though. We like you. You're all right.
Yeah.
You're all right.
Yeah, thank you.
But he has been, people try to emasculate him quite a bit on Twitter. And I think that had it been a standalone, had the Chris Rock thing had been the only thing that happened, I think it would have been all right. But earlier in the show, you had Regina Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
Speak on some of the questions about their marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like a bridge too far. I've been trying to figure out what would I have done. Like because I am wired a little bit like that. And what would I have done? Here's what I've come to the conclusion of how I would have done this without laying hands on Chris. I think I would have gone up on the stage. And I think I would have grabbed my friend, put my arm around him, and said, yeah, you know, my wife is struggling with this thing where she loses her hair. And so we want to make sure that we're not making fun of people that aren't, you know, that stuff that they can't control. And we don't want to make fun of people who have disabilities. And then I would have probably walked off. And that would have, I think, would have been a better way to do it. But as Chris Rock, to paraphrase Chris Rock, I'm not saying he should have hit him,
but
I understand.
yeah, Will Smith had a very long time to think about that. I mean, really, if you think about getting up from your seat, walking up those steps, and then the walk down that ramp to where Chris Rock was, that's several seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time to think, oh no, what am I doing? Like, should I not go hit this person? Because if he does what you said, I think Chris Rock feels worse.
Yep,
today.
I agree with you.
Oh my God, I'm a big old butthole. I feel terrible now.
Yep.
That's what you want. You want somebody to feel shame.
And you want them to feel some empathy too. But it's, you know, there's a lot there, man. Like that relationship. And if you read Will's book, which is pretty amazing, if the guy has been a tyrant. And people think because he got a smile on his face that Will is that dude, and people have been treating him appropriately. And for the people who are already texting, well, he was laughing. Have you never heard of nervous laughter? Because guess what? It happens quite a bit before people do stuff. They laugh about it.
Yeah, and then he probably saw her not react well to it either.
Correct.
And then he's like, uh-oh, I better do something about this.
And then he's like, what would Tupac do? seriously, I mean, I'm half joking with that, but Will has talked about how he has always felt like he hasn't quite measured up to the memory of Tupac, and it caused him to not seek a friendship with Tupac because Tupac and Jada were friends and probably dated, even though that's been a... So anyway, I expected that Rock wasn't going to press charges. I expect that those two dudes are going to have their moment together. They're going to... Chris is going to be like, I didn't know, and I'm sorry. And Will is going to be like, I shouldn't have hit you, and I'm sorry. And they'll squash it, and it'll be over. That's what I expect will happen.
Was that movie Poetic Justice? Is that right?
Poetic Justice was Janet Jackson and Tupac.
Okay.
No, this is like real. Jada and Tupac like were friends from Baltimore. Like they grew up together.
Oh, okay.
He was on an episode of A Different World, though.
Okay.
But they like, I want to say they met at the Baltimore School of the Arts, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I'm just saying there's a lot of layers to this.
Yeah, I know, but maybe the best thing to do, if it's not what you said, is to just wait until the commercial break or until the after party and say, dude.
There are clearly better options here.
Yeah, like there were a million better options, and Will Smith picked the worst one.
I would say that he picked the second to worst one. The worst one would have been a closed fist punch.
Oh, closed fist. Okay,
of Chris Rock. He picked the second to worst outcome of that thing.
That's fair.
But I suspect that both those dudes will figure out, like, I don't think that Chris knew. And Chris, being a guy that did the incredible documentary, which I highly recommend, Good Hair, does have a sense of the sensitivity of black women and their hair.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I don't think he knew. I don't think that he was trying I think he was just going for an easy joke. Here's a woman with short hair. She looks like G.I. Jane.
Yeah, let's get that out the way. It wasn't funny.
Right. It's a joke that's way beneath Chris Rock.
Yeah, that was just not Chris Rock level funny. Like, he should have been embarrassed. They should have just let that hang in the air. Because if that had happened, people would have been like, that sucked. Come on, Chris, you're better than that.
Yeah, the whole thing is crazy. Anyway, I brought you here to talk White Sox.
Okay.
But we can talk about all sorts of other things. So I see Andrew Vaughn yesterday get hurt, and I immediately go, that's not good. Now, luckily, it looks like preliminary reports are that he'll be back in a couple of weeks, which is good. That still doesn't solve the White Sox right field problems, which they've had since last year.
Well, that is, all right, what you said, and I don't know if you said it at the beginning of this segment or at the tail end of the last one, it kind of, all of this feeds into the larger picture of, this is, you have to assume you have a closing window, okay? I know you have a lot of pretty young talent, a lot of guys who are on the right side of 30, with the exception of Jose and Grandal. I mean, you've got a bunch of guys who are under 30, well, Josh Harrison's almost in his mid-30s. But why would you not, as long as you have this collection of talent, this collection of young talent, do everything you can to help them win? They're probably going to win the division, okay? I mean, they won 93 games last year. They're better than everybody else, despite the Correa pickup by Minnesota. They are still better than everybody else in the division. They've got a better bullpen than everybody else in the division. They got a good starting rotation, and obviously the lineup is good. But why would you not operate? And I also understand, Lawrence, before I get there, this is a pretty high payroll. I mean, they've committed $184 million, so that's good for seventh in baseball. That's a lot of money spent. So the money has been spent. But why not go a little bit harder here? Like, why not take advantage of what, you know, you're talking about the last games of Jose Abreu. Don't know how long he's going to play, but he's been a big part of your organization for years. Why not reward him with the best possible chance of not just winning the division, but going to the playoffs and going deep into the playoffs? There is no guarantee that if you were to sign a right fielder, if you sign Conforto, if you would sign Castellanos, there's no guarantee that means you're going to a World Series. But why not give yourself every opportunity to lessen that margin of error? And I don't understand not really going hard here. You've already spent a ton of money. Why not just bump it a little bit more? You know, like if winning the World Series truly is your goal And Rick Hahn did say going into the offseason, he said, we got a lot of work to do to get better. And I'm sure he would like to, but I know he's not the ultimate say in this. He does not set the budget. He works based on the budget that is given to him. I just wish that they had gone into this offseason recognizing all... Look, we know they're not stupid, Lawrence. You know they know what they need. You know they know what would make them better. But what they have chosen to do is take the guys in-house and say, well, you know, maybe this is good enough because we've already got a good team. I just don't like that approach, especially now with all of this young talent that you don't know how long you're going to have together.
I'm with you. And to me, it's worth them going above the CBT threshold.
Yep.
Because that you hired Tony La Russa, knowing all the things that come with hiring Tony La Russa, because you felt like you were in a win a World Series now mode. And if that's where you're at, then who cares if you go above the threshold? Like, there shouldn't even be a budget if you think that you're this close.
What do the Dodgers do every year? And I know the Dodgers are the Dodgers, but what do they do every year? You know, they win a World Series or they go to the World Series like every year, and then they get better the following year.
Here's Mookie Betts, and here's an extension for Mookie Betts.
Yes. Like, I mean, I know you don't pull in as much as they do, but you can overextend yourself every now and then. And let's not forget the competitive balance tax. I think people have the perception that you're taxed on the entire amount of the payroll. You're not. You're taxed on what you go over. So sometimes that tax is nothing. You know, it's very little money, relatively speaking. So, you know, and especially if you're a first-time offender of it, it's not that big of a deal. You could totally do it. I wish they would have taken that approach. And it bothers me that they've got a real opportunity here with some very good young talent. And I understand the idea of having young players like Sheets and Vaughn, who might turn out to be really good players someday. Why not, in as many places as you can possibly do it, why not have talent that you are certain right now are going to help you win? Right now, not in a year or 2 years when they might be really good down the road, and they could potentially be really good this year, but why not get somebody that you know is going to help you immediately when your window is now? Because I don't know how long your window is going to be open.
That's right. And you saw how tenuous it was last year. When you get an injury, how things can change for you dramatically. Now, their 1 through 9 is so good that they can probably overcome a lot of things. Their back of the bullpen is so good that they can probably overcome a lot of things. But why not make yourself a little bit more bulletproof? Like, that's how I look at it. Like, that's the way that I see it. But I appreciate you jumping on, man, with your Oscar takes and with your thoughts on the White Sox. And hopefully we can have you on more and we can talk more baseball and whatnot.
I would love to be on with you more. I would have come in to see you, but I got a little bit of the crud going on. I think I'm recovering now, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't get you a cold.
All right, well, I appreciate you doing that. Thank you so much.
Because I care about you.
I know you do, and I care about you,
too. And I'm not one of those... I'm not one of those buttholes that goes to work sick, you know?
Yes, that's a bad idea. It's a very bad idea. I'll talk to you soon, clown.
I love you. Goodbye.
I love you, too. That is Chris Ranji. He's part of our staff here. He's a friend of the show. He pops in and hosts shows with Layla. Those shows are hilarious when he does do that. And I enjoy talking baseball with him. Damn, I should have asked him about Pujols. We don't have time. Ray's like, please, why are you already late on my first show? Yeah, this is what it's like, Ray. Sorry. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Good stuff from Chris Ranji. I appreciated him being on the show. And I think it's just... I think the issue is, when it comes to the White Sox, is you're here. You're at the place that you've always wanted to be. You're at the place where when the rebuild went into place, when the teardown happened, you wanted to be in the place where you've got homegrown talent, you've made really good moves selectively in free agency and bringing people in. you were thinking that the final step would be bringing in the manager. Okay, so that wasn't the final step, but maybe with a year of understanding where the game is now, Tony La Russa will be better equipped to help you reach where it is that you want to go. But I guess my question to the White Sox is this. Are you doing everything possible to win a championship right now? And to me, the answer is no. You're not doing everything possible. You've got a really good roster that's probably going to win the division, although I do believe that the division is going to be better. Some of those wins that you may have already circled are not going to be wins this year because Detroit's better, Minnesota's better, and Kansas City's better. So maybe that shaves three or four wins off of what you thought you were going to do this season. When you're as close as they are with so much talent that they have, and I get there are people already projecting, oh, you know, let's get Oscar Colas up. With the people that they already have, you're in a good position. Why not bolster their position? Budget be damned for this year.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Good stuff from Chris Ranji. I appreciated him being on the show. And I think it's just, I think the issue is when it comes to the White Sox is you're here. You're at the place that you've always wanted to be. You're at the place where when the rebuild went into place, when the teardown happened, you wanted to be in the place where you've got homegrown talent. You've made really good moves selectively in free agency and bringing people in. You were thinking that the final step would be bringing in the manager. Okay, so that wasn't the final step, but maybe with a year of understanding where the game is now, Tony La Russa will be better equipped to help you reach where it is that you want to go. But I guess my question to the White Sox is this. Are you doing everything possible to win a championship right now? And to me, the answer is no. You're not doing everything possible. You've got a really good roster that's probably going to win the division, although I do believe that the division is going to be better. Some of those wins that you may have already circled are not going to be wins this year. Because Detroit's better, Minnesota's better, and Kansas City's better. So maybe that shaves three or four wins off of what you thought you were going to do this season. When you're as close as they are with so much talent that they have, and I get there are people already projecting, oh, you know, let's get Oscar Colas up. With the people that they already have, you're in a good position. Why not bolster their position? Budget be damned for this year. Like, I'm not looking at this as just the window. Like, the window, as long as you have Tim Anderson and you've got Aloy and you've got Yaz and you've got Moncada, they're always going to be decent. Giolito, Liam, you're going to be decent. But with a, how old is Tony now? Is he 77? Is that right? Or 78-year-old manager that you weren't bringing in here for a long time. You're bringing him here for a good time. All the chips. This would seem to be have been the offseason that you do everything possible. Like, don't fall short this year. And be looking around because there's still some questions inside. There's still questions inside of your rotation. We all think Michael Kopech could be good, but none of us know. Even the White Sox, they don't know. He's never done it at the major league level. Plus, you already have another shortened spring training, and he had COVID, so he's behind everyone else. You could have taken some, not all of it. You're not guaranteed of anything. You could have taken some of the guesswork out of this. We're going to flip over to talking about the Cubs. They have a new Cub, Seiya Suzuki. He was on the field this weekend. I'm going to get Megan Montemurro on the show to talk about it next here on The Score.